My name is Ethan Berg. I'm from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I'd like to thank you for the education you've provided, particularly with the annual reports. I've got three brief questions. Years ago, you wrote to your friend Jory Orenz that you were applying to Columbia's business school because they had a pretty good finance department and a couple of hotshots in Graham and Dodd. If you were considering graduate or business school today, with which individuals or professors would you want to study? Second question is a friend who wants to know your thoughts on the concrete, cement, and aggregates business. And the third question is from my wife. You mentioned earlier if someone were buying a parachute, they wouldn't buy based on lowest bid. We saw you tooling around in a car this week that were to be bought today could probably be bought at a relatively low bid. As someone interested in your health, she's wondering whether you've considered a newer automobile, possibly one with lots of airbags.
Oh. Actually, I picked out the car I have based on the fact that it had airbags on both sides. So that was a factor. It may have been the first car of its type ever made with airbags, but I think my car actually, it's both heavy and has airbags, and that those are two primary factors in safety. I don't think I don't think a safer car is necessarily being made. It might be safer to drive around in a big heavy-duty truck or something, but I'm not ready for that. Incidentally, on a car, I look at that like anything else. It would take me probably a half a day to go through the exercise of buying a car and reading the owner's manual and all that. And that's just a half a day I don't want to give up in my life for no benefit. If I could write a check in 30 seconds and be in the same position I'm in now with a newer car, I'd be glad to do it this afternoon. But I don't like to trade away. When there's really no benefit to me at all, I'm totally happy with the car. I just don't want to trade away the amount of time I'd have to spend fooling around to get familiar with and get titled to and do all the rest of the things, pick one out, so a new car. But if there's a safer car made, I'll be driving in it. The aggregates business, concrete, all of that. Those are businesses, and Charlie probably knows more about them than I do. We've looked at businesses like that. In fact, we've even owned a few shares at one time or another because it's an understandable business, and it's a business that, well, particularly if you get into concrete, cement, there have been periods of substantial overcapacity, particularly on a regional basis, but those are fundamental businesses, and at a price, for low-cost capacity and advantageously located raw materials and so on, we would do it. In fact, Charlie and I talked about one probably 10 or 15 years ago, quite a bit. And he's had a fair amount of familiarity with it. And what was the other one? I jotted it down here. Let's see.
He wanted to know what business school.
Business schools, yeah. Well, I would say this, that I think Bruce Greenwald's class at Columbia is very good. He gets in a lot of people that are practitioners, so there's a lot of practicality to the course, and I think Bruce is good. He's got a new book coming out that probably within the next 6 months or so that will deal with that. And then there also has been endowed at the University of Florida certain courses relating to value investing, and I think there's been one at the University of Missouri. So I would suggest you at least check out the curriculum at the University of Missouri and Columbia and Florida and do a little comparison and maybe check with a few recent graduates as to what kind of experience they had. I think if you can find them, I think that's the best system for evaluating a place. But those three at least have courses that based on the catalog sound like they might be of interest to you. Charlie?
Yeah. A huge majority of the business school teaching on the field of investment of passive portfolios of securities is not what we believe and not what Warren was taught years ago by Ben Graham. They're just little pockets of our attitude. Left. There's one at Stanford, Jack McDonald.
Yeah, sure.
And
that's graduate school.
It's graduate school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And What's interesting about that is I think it's the most popular course in the whole Stanford Business School. They've got some kind of a bidding system. And yet I asked Jack how he felt, and he said he felt lonely. He's got the most popular course, but in the whole professoriate dealing with investment matters, the Jack McDonalds are a little clan of their own in a side pocket, so to speak. Now, they're right, and they can take whatever consolation they get from that, but mostly if you go to a business school, you will learn a lot of things we don't believe.
Yeah, Jack, Bob Kirby comes in and works with Jack sometimes, too, and you couldn't, and Bob has got a terrific mind in terms of investment. So that, I mean, there's no question about that. It's not the easiest school in the world to get into, and it is at the graduate level, but there are these occasional little anomalies, as they would say, in the teaching world. I mean, what you really want a course on investing to be is how to value a business. That's what the game is about. I mean, if you don't know how to value a business, you don't know how to value a stock. And if you look at what is being taught, I think you see very little of how to value a business. And the rest of it is playing around maybe with numbers or, Greek symbols or something of the sort, but it doesn't do you any good. I mean, in the end, you have to decide, whether you're going to value a business at $400 million or $600 million or $800 million, and then you compare that with the price, and that's what investing is. And I don't know any other kind of investing, basically to do, and that just isn't taught. And the reason it isn't taught is because there aren't teachers around, who know how to teach it. I mean, they don't know themselves. And since they don't know themselves, they teach something that says nobody knows anything, and which is the efficient market theory. And if I didn't know how to do it, and if I ever teach physics, I'm going to come up with a theory that nobody knows anything, because it's the only way I can get through the day, But it's fascinating to me how the really great universities operate in this respect. If you get a sacred writ, I mean, you get in the finance department because you sign on, to whatever the present group thinks. And if they think the world is flat, you better think the world is flat too. And your students better answer that the world's flat when they get on exams. I would say investment finance teaching in this country is, in general, kind of pathetic.
Well, I think the business schools do a pretty good job when it comes to accounting
or
personnel management or a whole lot of subjects I think they do quite well with. But they miss one enormous opportunity. If you learn to think intelligently about how to invest successfully in businesses, you'll become a much better business manager than you will if you aren't good at understanding what's required for successful investment. So they're missing a huge opportunity to improve the management profession by doing such a lousy job in teaching investment.
Yeah, see, Charlie and I see CEOs all the time who in a sense don't know how to think about the value of businesses they're acquiring, and then, so they go out and hire investment bankers, and guess what? The investment banker tells them what to do, tells them to do it, because they get 20x if they do it and x if they don't do it, and guess how the advice comes out. So it's when a manager of a business feels helpless, which he won't say out loud, but inwardly feels helpless in the question of asset allocation, you've got a real problem. And there aren't, they have not gone to business schools that have given them any real help, I think, in terms of learning how to think about valuation in businesses. And that's one of the reasons that we write and talk about it some, because there's a gap there.